Today's episode is brought to you by the Christian Standard Bible, a Bible translation for everyone. The CSB is a translation that's both understandable for the new believer and the lifelong disciple. Whether reading to a child or teaching in your women's ministry, the CSB will be accurate, readable, and shareable. Find out more at csbible.com. We're so thankful for the support of the Christian Standard Bible.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey friends, Laura here one last time. First off, we're going to mention this later, but it is crazy that this is our last show of the season. Emily and I have really enjoyed trying out some different things this season, and we hope you did too. Speaking of the season, I'm here to remind you, just in case you missed us mentioning it, we recorded this episode prior to coronavirus's widespread impact. So today we're diving into part two of a two-part episode on sanctification. And we know all of us are being sanctified by the virus and its effects, right? We have school closures, stay-home orders, loss of routines, events, celebrations, job losses, changes, the craziness at grocery stores. There are a lot of things that are sanctifying us right now. And as we were prepping to release this show, we felt like it'd be really important for us to let you know that this was recorded before coronavirus, which is why we didn't include something that should so obviously be a part of our discussion. But as we've said before, we really do trust that God will use it. And hopefully, you can think of your own unique circumstances during the show to apply some of the principles we share to your own life. Okay, on another note, happy Mother's Day! I hope all of you get to do something really special, even if it's just a picnic in the living room. I also wanted to let you know that the Risen Motherhood ebook is on crazy sale this week. It's just $2.99 through May 12th. And the great part about the ebook is that it's contactless and immediate, which means you could grab it for a mom in your life for Mother's Day. If that's not your thing, you can still order the physical copy on sale. While it likely won't come in time for you to wrap it up, there is a free downloadable card that you can print on our site to let the recipient know it's coming. Or, of course, there's always the audio version for those that like to keep their hands moving while listening. We'll link all the options in our show notes today, or you can learn more and grab the downloadable card at risenmotherhood.com/book. Another thing I want to tell you about is that each Wednesday this summer, we'll be doing what we're calling kitchen sink prayers on social media, where we're going to gather as a community of moms to pray for other specific groups of moms. It's kind of a spinoff day from the day of prayer that we did a few weeks ago. And the idea is that all of us usually see our kitchen sink each day. Many of us actually spend a decent amount of time there, cooking, washing hands, filling water bottles, you know, that sort of stuff. And our hope is that each time we see our kitchen sink, we think to pray. Even if it's a kitchen sink at your place of work's break room, our hope is that we can take something we all see many times per day and turn it into a reminder to pray. Each Wednesday on our Risen Motherhood social platforms, we'll be posting a prayer prompt for you to pray about. We'd love for the community of Risen Motherhood to be known as a group of praying moms. I mean, guys, what a gift it is that we can approach the throne of grace anytime we like because of Christ's sacrifice. Let's take advantage of it. You can join us by following us on social media at Risen Motherhood and use the hashtag RMKitchenSinkPrayers. We'd love to hear how God is working through your life or who you're specifically praying for. Come follow us on social media at Risen Motherhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Okay, before we get to the show, I just want to say one last thing. I want to say thank you. Thank you for all your support this season and honestly over the 5 years that we've been doing this podcast. We are so grateful for each of our community members and all of you who tune in each week or interact with our content on other platforms. We'll be back in late summer with more shows, and hopefully all of us will be inching our way back to a new normal at that time. Until then, come find us on social media as we'll have regular content posted there each weekday, and you'll find all our updates on those platforms. We love you all, and we're praying for each of you to be an example of God's faithfulness and grace in your homes and communities while we navigate these crazy circumstances. All right, here we go.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. The episode that you're going to hear today is actually a continuation of a conversation that Laura and I started last week. So if you haven't heard it, we would encourage you to tune into that first. Last week, we talked all about what is our purpose in life? What is the point of all of the things that we face day in and day out? What is it that we're really aiming for? And this week, we are going to be talking a little bit about how we change into the image of Christ. And we have a lot of content here for you, some lessons that Laura and I are learning. So again, we hope that you will catch last week's conversation and you'll enjoy the continuation of it in today's episode. We're going to kind of shift the conversation now because we've talked a little bit about what's our purpose, what's the point of all of this. Where are we going? What's our destination? And along the way, I think one of the questions that a lot of us ask is, okay, though, I'm boots on the ground, but how do I change? How do I actually do this? I want to live for Christ. I want to spend it all. I want to radically serve Him with my heart, soul, mind, body, strength, all those things. But how do I literally do that?
Right. Is it by grace through faith? The destination of God's plan, the power of the Holy Spirit, reading scripture, developing a robust theology, by modeling the life and actions of Christ? Is it rehearsing God's promises while we wrestle with our faith and try to live it out? Is it through conversations with friends and wise believers, or through suffering and hard circumstances? Is it through mothering these kiddos and sometimes feeling totally and completely lost?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, I think what we want to continue to explore here is that it is complex. Yeah. And I think like a lot of things in the Christian life, it's not totally clear cut. It's not this perfect formula. It's not something that we have like this total control over it. But that's good because that puts us in a place of dependence. It puts us in a place of need before God. But then there's also that truth that, you know, we have to do something. We have to respond. And so God uses a lot of things to change us. I think one of the things I felt like at times is that I'm subject to my personality. I'm just this way. I'll never change. I can't be more patient. I can't have a quiet spirit. I can't be nice in these certain situations. I will never have the humility to sit and plan meals graciously for my family or whatever that is. Or thinking that, you know, I'm always going to be subject to my sin and failure. Like, oh, because I was this way in the past, I'm marked and I'm stuck in that and I will never overcome that.
Yeah, or your circumstances. You can feel like, well, other people have hurt me and they've made it hard or even impossible at times to feel like I can live in a different way. I think this is, as we're saying, kind of a complicated topic, but we actually read a really, really great book this past fall by David Powlison. It's called How Does Sanctification Work? And it was really helpful for Emily and myself to understand all of the various ways that people change. It's not just through one means or even two, but it's quite the myriad of ways. And so we want to recommend that book, first of all, and just suggest that everybody go ahead and pick that up. You guys know when we're hot on a topic, typically it's because we've read a great book about it and yeah, we feel excited about it. And then also just let you know that we are going to be using a few principles of what he calls the five factors of sanctification. So we'll get there in a second, but wanted to kind of mention that book right off the get-go.
So yeah, these categories, again, come from David Powlison's book. But we thought this was really helpful. He actually has this diagram of a house, and he talks about all these different things that work together in very mysterious ways at times to bring us more and more into the image of Christ. And so the first thing that he talks about is that God Himself changes us. We are partakers in the divine nature if we have union with Christ, which means that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of us. And so He's working in us each moment for God's purposes and our lives. And so literally, God is the sovereign one. I mean, this is like the most important piece of the puzzle undergirding the whole house. It is God ultimately who works on us.
Yeah, and second, the Word changes you. So we know that scripture is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and we're to be doers of the word, not just hearers. So scripture is where we learn what the voice of God is saying. We find what He loves. We find out what He hates. We find out His commands. We discover His plans for our lives. This is something that Emily and I talk on nearly every show. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it can be easy for us to offer platitudes or broad truths from scripture, or even saying like, preach the gospel to yourself. And that kind of implies like
say scripture to yourself or something mm-hmm. like that, or just remember what Christ did for you on the cross. But that's not always as tangible in the moment. Mm-hmm. And scripture, I don't know how God does it, but so often when we come to scripture with a soft heart and looking for God's answers, not in a magic eight ball way, but in a true posture of humility, of studying God's word, he will use specific passages to change us and grow us and encourage us. Mm-hmm. And there have been many times in Emily and my life where we're like, I was just reading this morning and wow, it fits here, or it showed me this, or it revealed sin. It convicted me. Mm-hmm. It helped me know what I need to do to obey.
Yes, I was going to say that specificness of it, and that's why Laura and I have learned so much. There's really there's no substitution for this daily time in the Word of God and just being willing to see how he's going to use it in specific ways. So that's one part of the house is God's word changing
us. It's like the
us.
Roof, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, in that's the roof. I feel like it's
the foundation and
those
the roof.
Those are the two like really big important pieces. You cannot live in this house without those two things. And then the next piece of the puzzle is just wise people change us. You know, we need to live in community with others. We are not meant to do the Christian life alone. And I was thinking as I was driving on the way over here about how we need to hear the word of God. And it's not just in one way. We need to hear it taught. We need to hear it read aloud. We need to hear it prayed. We need to hear it sung. And a lot of those things happen in corporate worship. And a lot of those happen in corporate Christian community or when we get together one-on-one with other believers and we have these great conversations and somebody speaks the word of God to us. And it's not just that, but people who give wisdom based on the word of God, you know, and speak directly into our lives. I mean, I don't know how many times like somebody's even passing word that they weren't even saying to me, but this is like just a wise Christian. I remembered it and God used that and brought that back to my mind multiple times to help change me to become more like Christ in a certain situation I was facing or to make a more wise decision.
Oh, amen. I know Proverbs talks so much about, do you want to grow in wisdom? Get wise counselors around you. Get wise mm-hmm. people around you. So another one is suffering, struggle, and troubles change you. So suffering, I think we can all agree, we don't need to even point this out necessarily, but it shows us where our weaknesses are and where our needs are. And sometimes, as we were kind of talking about before, there is sin in our own hearts and failures that we have done. And then sometimes it's other people and outside factors that are wrong and hurt us. And I think about this with this. We had a grapevine at my old house in Minneapolis. And it was like 12 years old when we purchased the house.
You guys had a lot of plants in that yard.
Oh my goodness. We bought like an oasis in the middle of the city.
No grass, only plants.
Yeah, it was. The front of our yard was supposed to be native prairie grasses. There was a sign that the previous owners had put, and they were very, very proud of the prairie grasses, but they were 12-foot tall weeds. I'm not kidding. You couldn't even see our house. So we felt badly, but after we got into the house and we realized how tall these beautiful prairie grasses that were self-sustaining were, we ended up chopping them down, putting some real grass in. But we did not chop the grapevine. So the grapevine we had in our old house, and they left us about a 4-page document of how to care for the home and particularly the yard. And one of the pieces in there was they said, well, our grapevine is a prolific producer of grapes. We were like, great, we're going to have grapes every September. It's going to be so wonderful. But the first few years, we didn't get any grapes on that grapevine. And what we didn't realize was that we actually needed to prune the vine. We needed to harshly, almost savagely prune it back. Because what we didn't know was that grapevines actually only produce fruit when they're struggling and fighting for life. So that's why when you see a grapevine, it's so like skinny and little, because ours was like big and bushy and had like all these leaves and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then we'd get like 2 clusters mm-hmm. of sour grapes. So I think that that is just a really good analogy for how, like, in our own lives, that producing fruit often comes from some kind of death, right? Mm-hmm. Christ's death is what gave us life. For us to bear fruit in our lives, often we're going to have to, it's going to hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to sacrifice a little. We're going to have to be pruned back. And this is something that works out our salvation. It makes us grow and gives us depth.
One of the prayers I was reading recently in the Valley of Vision talked about how like the lawful blessings of God and the comforts of life can actually be bad things for us if they are getting in the way of our love and enjoyment of God. And sometimes it's actually a huge blessing if he takes those things away, because it makes us hurt and need and depend. It makes us fight for life. And who do we turn to for that life? It's Christ. Laura and I have just even been talking in our personal relationship and friendship. We've both faced things recently that have made us just feel like, it almost sometimes can feel like the ground under your feet is quaking, mm-hmm. and all the things I was clinging to are less stable than I thought. And there's something, though, about that feeling that also is invigorating, yeah. because it makes Christ so real and our need for Christ so palatable again, that those situations can actually be a gift. And it's like that double-edged yeah. sword. I'm like, oh, I don't want that feeling because yeah. it feels terrible. But at the same time, it's just those moments when I look back and I think, oh, I just clung to Christ and I was so desperate and I was praying continually and I was in his word and I was doing all those things that we know we should do, were the moments where I was in the most pain.
That's so, I'm sitting here nodding along and just saying like, oh, hurts so good kind of feeling, because it's true. When life is most bitter, Jesus is most sweet. Mm-hmm. And I wish it didn't work like that, but what a gift that our pain can be used for good, mm-hmm. and that there is beauty that comes out of the most difficult situations. And I love what you said, Emily, of like, I'm most communing with God, I'm most talking with God, I am most in the word. And that is so true. It drives us mm-hmm. to admit our weaknesses and say, I need you, God, which should be the perpetual posture of our heart.
Right.
But when we have everything or lots of things, we're so easy to forget, like the Israelites,
yeah.
you know, we think they're cray cray for building all those building all those golden calves and other gods. And we're like, what? We'd never do that. And we do it all yeah. the time.
So the fifth thing here is the reality that you change you. We have to act. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you your faith by my works. Another verse that comes to mind is just, we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers. I think sometimes I've heard this said before, like we can just kind of sit around waiting for a zap of lightning. Like, mm-hmm. okay, I know I need to change, but I don't know, like maybe I think I'm describing this, and probably you guys are nodding, even though it is so hard to describe this feeling that something is just going to happen someday and it's going to make everything a little bit easier, or I guess I'll change tomorrow, or I don't know.
Or I'll be like zapped with knowing the right wisdom to know
right.
what to do. That's right. for me what often happens.
And you and I have been talking lately about how
yeah.
most of the time, like most of the time, we know what we need to do. We know what we ought to do. And we are not doing it because there's like that rebellion in our spirit. And there's this, we don't want to submit to God. We don't want to just, it's not that complicated yeah. most of the time.
Yeah. Well, and I think like we want it to be spelled out and super, super clear. At least I know that I'm like, well, I just need a sign from heaven. Basically, that's how I'm acting. Mm-hmm. And ultimately it's like, no, it's just do the next thing. And I think there's an element that we may not have it all figured out exactly, but we need to just take one step of faith. Like we want to know, gosh, what's it look like a mile down the road, when really we might only know the next step. And like Emily's saying, we often know what that step is and we can at least make progress there. We don't have to know 10 miles ahead what's going to happen.
Yeah. And there are some practical things at times we need to do. I know I've heard this example before, I think multiple places, that sometimes we need scaffolding. Or going back to Laura's vine example, you know, a vine can just grow wild and it can continue to grow and produce fruit. But like if it has a trellis or it has some type of support and some type of order to it, it helps it grow, I don't know, more correctly. I've never yeah. grown a vine. Maybe
yeah.
you should tell me.
No, there is something about it needing to grow vertically so it can grow its roots more deeply.
Yeah.
And then it has a place for like all of the fruit to go. Or I don't know. I'm not
well,
really
I think of a tomato
arborist.
Plant. Yeah. I'm familiar
give
with
some
tomatoes.
Structure. Yep, yep.
That like if you didn't give it some structure, it would all just like flop
yeah,
over
exactly.
and those tomatoes would kind of rot. And so we don't want to take this too far. But all we're saying is there are some practical things that we need to do in our disciplines, in our habits, and there may be some actual tangible steps we need to take to make some of those changes.
Right.
One last thing we want to add here is, while this is probably assumed, we just want to make sure that we mention that all of this should be undergirded by prayer. Just remembering that prayer is talking with God. It's bringing the things that we want to see changed to Him. And so often, it's just amazing to watch how God will change our own will, our own hearts, our own desires towards His. And so prayer is just a major undergirding of all of these things. As we talk about changing and growth in godliness and going towards holiness, we should be modeling a life of prayer in everything. Okay, now we want to have you stop and think about a moment when you have changed in your life. You've seen progress in your life and you felt like you have victory. And that's something that, as believers, sometimes it seems like we don't acknowledge enough, that there are areas in life that we have victory. Think about that. How did you change? Was it through a friend or a passage of scripture or a sermon or a podcast? Have you ever felt like, sometimes I'll feel like God has the crosshairs on me. And I'm like, wow, it's coming from everywhere. You know, like this topic, everyone's talking about it suddenly, and yeah, my friends and my personal life and online. It'll feel like everyone's talking about that. And that's when I know God is changing me. God wants me to listen up. And so this all works together. God uses a combination of these five different things in a myriad of ways to change us. And I think that sometimes we might think it's just one thing, but if we look more closely, we'll see just a series of probably a lot of little things that all add up that transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit into Christ-likeness.
Yeah, and hopefully if you've stuck with us this far, you're nodding along and saying, yeah, this is what I want. I mean, this is what Laura and I want. This is our heart for Risen Motherhood. This is our heart for our community, that where God has us, we would be creating disciples. We would all be making wiser decisions according to Scripture. We'd be recognizing sin patterns, and we'd be repenting of those, that we'd be growing a deeper love for God's people and be getting involved in the church, that we would continue to live a life of not just, you know, keeping our gratitudes written down, but giving great thanksgiving to God for the good gifts that He's given, that we would be good stewards and we would be generous, we would grow in humility and kindness and be a better steward of our time. Like, when we think about what does God want for us, and then what do we want for our community and our ministry and all of you who are listening, it's this. It's not necessarily the perfectly decorated home or the easy schedule or the, you know, all of those things.
That's why we don't do practical here.
Yeah, and they're not bad in and of themselves, but that's not the aim. And God can use all these things to work together, but there is that element of, are we putting ourselves in the path of some of those things that change us even, or are we putting ourselves in the path of worldliness?
Yeah, I think that this is why I love getting older. I love it. And I know some of you will probably think, oh, you know, they're in their 30s. They're not very old. And some of you will think we're archaic. You know, you're all over the place. But it is so wonderful to grow and transform and to be like Christ and to behold Him and fall in love with Him more. And I think there's a security that comes as we get older and more rooted in our faith, that we start to realize what we really, really want deep down. And I think it's really easy, even still, for both Em and I to get caught up in wanting, you know, recognition, perfect children, more interesting, you know, daytime work.
More appreciation,
from our kids,
whatever.
Yeah, more recognition from stuff. But when we really step back and we put on our gospel lenses, what do we want? We want to be marked by Christ-likeness. We want to be marked by our love and devotion and adoration of our King. I have to remind myself that what it boils down to is, do I love Jesus more? More than my comforts, more than my desires, more than, you know, whatever it is that day that seems like it would be better or smoother or more simple, is do I love Jesus more? And I think about 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it talks about we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And there's a lot of things to unpack in there, but I love it because it talks about beholding the glory of the Lord. And beholding is like setting your gaze and staying your eyes and really seeing all that there is. And for me, it's like if I am focused on the dishes or the dirt or the struggles or the griefs or the pain, I'm not beholding God. And then I'm not beholding God. I'm not focusing on Him. And therefore, usually that means that I am looking more inward. I'm feeling more sad. I'm feeling more of those feelings of, does this matter? Is there any point? But when I'm beholding Christ, when I'm saying he is my all, he is my focus, that is my goal, I know what my destination is, and I'm walking on the path to get there, then I think there's so much more meaning and there's so much more purpose behind the work that I do. And the other thing I want to point out really quickly is just, it says one degree of glory to another, one degree by one degree. So this is a slow change that so often, just like with our kids, we're like, you get a week to do that behavior and then you're done, you know? But it takes years and years and years to change. And so as we talk about what does it look like to conform into the image of the Son, well, it's going to take a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's just one small degree by one degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to kind of bring this to a close, we know that we're kind of sending you guys out into the rest of the spring and the summer. This is our final episode for this spring 2020 season. We just want to say to you, like as we say to ourselves and to each other, like in Christ, this life is not meaningless. And yes, we're going to have griefs. Yes, we're going to have challenges, but our days are not insignificant. And when we are looking to him and we're going to his word and we're spending time with his people and we're doing it one little bit at a time, we can trust that God is going to be changing and using our lives for something that matters. And that by being faithful, we are doing the most important thing. It was funny, my oldest son got in the car earlier this week and he flew open the door. And the first thing he said is, "Mom, can we talk about how I can do great things for God?" And I was like, "Oh, okay. Like right now, like, because we need to get through the school line, you know." But it was really interesting for me to say to him, "You know, the greatest thing you can do for God right now is obey mommy and get in your seat and put your seatbelt on with a happy heart. And then let's keep talking. Like, the greatest thing you can do is to be like Jesus and to love him in whatever situation you're in. That faithfulness is the greatest thing." And so it was even cool to be able to communicate that as I reminded myself, like, oh yeah, it's not necessarily about the accolades or the home or all the things that I think I need to have. It's about just that ongoing faithfulness, getting from one checkpoint to the next, saying, okay, God, I need you for the next part. I need your grace for the next thing. Help me live like Jesus.
Amen. May that be our prayer. Help us live like Jesus. So as we go out here, we hope that you guys will check us out at risenmotherhood.com to learn more about our ministry and what we're all about. You can also follow us on the social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Risen Motherhood. We will be posting content there all summer. So you will find us there. Even though we go on break for a few months, we'll be back August, September, sometime in there, but definitely keep up with us. All of the news and events and announcements will be posted on social media or on our website. So we hope that you guys have a great summer and we'll see you in the fall.
Thanks, guys.